Robert Lee Brook in Virginia sued himself. He claimed the crimes he committed while drunk had violated his own civil liberties and human rights. And he sued himself for $5 million on the assumption that when he won, the state would pay the damages to him for his own stupidity. As far as I know, he's still serving his 23-year sentence, and by the way, he lost. Perhaps the depths of stupidity, suing yourself for your own stupidity. The Bible says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. I've given up watching reality TV programs. I really cannot stand the unwisdom of them. Is it just me? Or am I the only one who finds himself shouting at the screen, don't do that? That is unwise. I suppose it's good vocal exercise, and I suppose it stops you being too passive in front of the television. But at times you just want to, don't you want to pick the people up and shake them? Don't you?
No, don't watch it.
And I sometimes think, you know, doesn't God feel that way too, as he watches my life and your life? Doesn't he at times want to pick you and me up and shake us and say, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Some of us live our lives in a state of unwisdom. Go back to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Some things need to change in our lives. God's given us directions as to how to live our life if we choose to follow them. If we choose to follow them, we are choosing unwisdom. But to follow him is wisdom. In his sermon on this passage, Bill Hybels, the American pastor, has a very fine illustration. He's a pilot, by the way. He has a little plane, he flies it. And he says he read an article called 178 Seconds to Live. About 20 capable pilots who were very good pilots, but they'd never had instrument training. And each of them was put in a flight simulator and asked to fly the plane through thick clouds and stormy weather. He said that all 20 pilots crashed and killed themselves within an average of 178 seconds. It's simulated, of course. In case you missed that, I said a simulator. Just some of you were, no. But on the simulator. And he says that himself was co-piloting a plane from Chicago to Chicago from the East Coast. And he did the takeoff and climb, and the pilot in command was busy entering data into the computer. And Bill Hybels said that he was flying there, and the instrument suddenly said that he was banking to the left. Now, he's been flying since he was a young man, and he knew perfectly well that he wasn't banking to the left. So he knew better than the instruments, and he never had a mishap. So he said, on that particular night, I made the deliberate choice to trust my own intuition over the indications coming from the instruments on the panel. I said, I know better. If it comes down to a choice between the instruments and my own intuition, I will trust my own intuition. At that moment, the pilot looked up from his charts and grabbed the controls and made an immediate correction. He gave me a sideways glance, he writes, that seemed to be asking, are you crazy? Then he gave me a wry smile, pointed to the instruments and said, believe those things, we'll both live longer. We sometimes think we know better than God. We trust our own intuition. We trust our own feelings. If it feels good, do it. And God says, look, I've given you a book full of instruction. And it's full of wisdom. And I'm asking you to fly by my instruments. I'm asking you to take your choices based on what I tell you in my word. Don't go it alone. Don't think your own intuition will keep you flying, keep you living in the right way. Get wisdom. Some of you may have seen an American program called The Wire. It was an award-winning series. Apparently, I didn't see it. Apparently, it was absolutely impossible to understand it without subtitles. And even then, you needed to go on the internet to find out what all the expressions actually meant. But it was apparently a superb series based on an anti-hero called Omar Little. Now, I just happened to come across this story, that character was based on a man called Donnie Andrews. I'm just going to put a picture of Donnie on the screen for you, as he is now. This is Donnie, aged 55. And Donnie was brought up in a very poor home. He saw his first dead body lynched and hanging from a tree when he was 4 years old. At 10, he watched from behind the washing machine in a laundrette as an old man was bludgeoned to death for 15 cents. And he became a member of a street gang at the age of 13. He says, the word future wasn't even in my vocabulary because I didn't know if I'd be alive or dead tomorrow. They had a bet in my neighborhood that I wouldn't reach 21. I'm 55 now, and the people who made the bet are all dead. Between his 16th birthday and his murder conviction 16 years later, he was arrested 19 times and spent 6 years in jail. When he was 32, the drug lord he was working for got shot in the foot by a rival gang. So he sent Donnie and his friend to take revenge on the neighbouring gang. And Donnie and Reggie went off, and they found two members of the opposing gang. And this is what Donnie writes. Once Reggie's Uzi, that's a machine gun, went off, Zach, the other gang member, jumped up, and it was a spontaneous reaction on my part. I just fired, and as he ran up the street, he tripped and fell. I went to give him the coup de grace, and he looked up at me. I looked him in the eye, and before he died, he asked me, why? It was like I was frozen in time. I thought, why? This guy looks just like me. He could have been my brother, my son, my father. And why for drugs? Because somebody shot the drug lord in the foot. Why? It stuck with me. I couldn't get it out of my head, and I'm trying to figure it out to this day. Well, there's another part to the story. Donnie was under suspicion for the murder, but they couldn't prove it. And he came across a detective called Ed Burns. And Ed followed him and came up to him and said, I can give you a second chance at life. And Donnie thought, who does he think he is, God? But I thought about it. He says, even a fool wants a second chance. And then Burns' partner made a strange suggestion. He said he should read the Bible, especially the story of Paul and his conversion. So Donnie went and read the Bible. And he realized that he'd been living his life by unwisdom. He couldn't answer the question why, because there'd been no wisdom in what he'd done. He gave his heart to Jesus, confessed to the crime, and was sent to prison. The prosecutors promised him that if he pleaded guilty, he'd only do 10 years. He pleaded guilty, and in fact he did 18 years. And on his release, while he was in prison, he got to know the writers of the Wire. And that's why many of the stories that appear in that series were actually real examples taken from Donnie's previous life in the gang world. He met a recovering heroin addict, and they married. They're happily married. He's come out of the wedding. A lot of the script writers from that program and the actors were at their wedding. And he now works in a church and works helping gang members. In Maryland. That's Donnie. The question is why, isn't it? That question that's hung over his entire life. Why? Why do you do what you do? Isn't that what God says when he says get wisdom? Why have you done what you've done? It's not worked out for you in the past. Those spontaneous feel-good decisions have often turned out wrong. Why don't you get wisdom? Why don't you study my word? Why don't you find out how to live? If you turn to chapter 8, verse 35. I typed the wrong one into the computer there. I think it's 8:35. Chapter 8, sorry about that. It's 8, verse 35. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. You find wisdom, you find life. Because wisdom is as old as the hills. Now let's go to chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. Wisdom was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there was no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. God's wisdom is as old as humankind and older. God's wisdom is there to direct our lives. God doesn't expect us to fly by intuition. God expects us to live by wisdom, to get into his word. I don't know about you, but as I look down my life, I find myself so many times having made decisions that were unwise, when I should have sought God's wisdom, but I just went with it in the spur of the moment. But God says, don't do that. Think about it. Pray about it. Read about it. I've given you an entire book to teach you. And there's more. Because when we leave the pages of the Old Testament and we come to the New, we find that Jesus Christ is behind all wisdom. John chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That's Jesus. And Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The human race was made to live by God's wisdom. The human race was made to bear the image of God. The human race was made to follow Jesus Christ, and we don't know it. Christ is the wisdom of God. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 25, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom didn't know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. That's Jesus crucified. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And then at the end of the passage, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Why was a question that reverberated through the life of Donnie Andrews. Why? Why did I do this? Why is this happening? Why is this world as it is? And the answer is, the world is as it is because men and women refuse to obey the wisdom of God. They reject the wisdom of God, and ultimately they reject the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who's God's wisdom. And so much human suffering is a result of that unwisdom, that rejection of wisdom, whether it's the Janjaweed in Sudan, the Lord's Resistance Army in Rwanda, whether it's suicide bombers, whether it's Marxist insurgents, whether it's just whatever it might be, however it might happen, what happens, what passes in the day-to-day, what hits the headlines of our newspapers, has come about because men and women like you and me have rejected God's wisdom, turned aside from God's wisdom, felt they could live by intuition. If it felt good, they'd do it. And God said, that isn't what I wanted you to do. But you didn't have the wisdom to do it. Let's finish our studies in Proverbs, in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And maybe this is just speaking straight into somebody's situation. Perhaps you're coming from a confused and difficult situation to church this morning, and you don't understand what's happening all around you, and you're trying to puzzle it out, and it doesn't make sense, you don't know why it's happening. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You might not actually have the answer to the question why at the moment. But God is in control. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just make sure that the decisions you take today and tomorrow and throughout this week are based on God's revelation, are based on God's word. Don't try and fly by intuition. Check the instruments. Having a church, an ex-soldier, he's not with us this morning, he's not well, but he always says to me, his parting words to me are always, Peter, keep checking your compass. I'll always remember those words. Those words will always haunt me. Peter, keep checking your compass. Those are his words to his pastor. Peter, keep checking your compass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to invite the band to join me on the platform. Let's just pray for a moment, and in our prayer, let's ask God to apply that to our lives. And you might just want at this moment to lay before God your situation. And just quietly in your heart, spread out your situation to God. And things you might not understand. Things you're struggling with. Things that just seem to confuse you. And worry you. And disturb you. Let's just hold on to this verse this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Father, make wisdom leap out and confront us. Bring wisdom out of your word into our life and give us the grace to understand what it is you want for us. Give us the moral strength to live our lives by what you tell us in your word, not by what's acceptable or passable in day-to-day life. Lord, give us moral courage, spiritual insight, to take the right decisions.